In today's episode, we're going to break down why you shouldn't copy podcasters like Stephen Bartlett when you're trying to grow your podcast, when you're trying to get big and monetize as soon as possible. Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast. Welcome back to another Wednesday episode where we share with you one memorable principle around podcast growth and monetization that'll help you reach your podcasting goals as fast as possible.
My name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Tig O'Shea.
So look, Tig, let's get straight into it. I think a lot of podcasters, and not just podcasters, if you're a business owner, you might have some influencers that you follow. You might have some of the big names in the industry, the big dogs, the people leading the pack.
The big dogs.
And Stephen Bartlett, I think it's fair to say, in terms of his podcast, the audience he's built up, has done a very good job of building an audience, of building a very captivating podcast, a well-known and recognized show.
For sure.
You know, some of the biggest guests he gets on, and it also pulls in ridiculous views on his episodes.
Yeah, and a lot of revenue, right? From all those deals and sponsorships too.
Absolutely. So I think it's fair to say that in terms of people in the industry leading the pack, he's up there. He's definitely up there. And I would say...
Some would say the English Joe Rogan.
Yeah, some would say the English Joe Rogan. And it's weird because I think in the business space, people probably look up to Stephen Bartlett more than they do Joe Rogan.
All right, Anthony, yada, yada, yada. Stephen Bartlett, he's done this, he's done that. What's the point? All right, I'll say the point. So we've broken down three things that Stephen Bartlett does in his podcast marketing strategy. And these are things baked into his podcast and things he does to his podcast. And these are all things that we see just podcasters in general replicate. And not saying they all got it from Stephen Bartlett. It's, you know, just big people and big influencers, like we say.
Mm.
But we're going to break down to you right now why these actually won't work if you're starting from the ground up and you don't already have hundreds of thousands of followers.
What are they, Tig? So for me, the first one is having super long teasers at the start of your podcast episode.
Right.
The second is you shouldn't be everywhere, or rather being everywhere, trying to be on social media, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, Reels, all this malarkey.
Mm-hmm.
And then a final one that most people copy is, hey, let's just try to land our next big brand deal or sponsorship, selling other people's stuff rather than our own. So we're going to break down through this episode again, those three pillars when it comes to what people, the big dogs, doing, and show you why that might not be the best route to go if you're trying to grow fast, get big and monetize as an independent podcaster with a business, etc. So I guess the first one, Tig, having super long teasers at the start of the podcast episode. Like, I guess what? Why shouldn't people actually do that? Because I think that's one that a lot of people, if orders a lot of podcasts, clients who come in, a lot of people have teasers. And I think it's a nice way to give a sneak peek of what people can expect from an episode, to build something up. It's a 40-minute or an hour-long episode. Why not have a teaser? Like, why shouldn't we copy people like Stephen Bartlett, who've got, like, I think we listened to one of his, right? It was a minute and a half.
Minute and a half, yeah. And it wasn't, it was obviously pretty effective, right?
Mm.
But yeah, it's tricky because logic would often say, well, yeah, why can't we do that then? The concept of tease like that should just transfer across. And it can do, but where most podcasters go wrong with that is having a teaser that's like a minute or a minute and a half, because unfortunately, people just don't care enough to give it the time of day, right?
Mm.
In fact, two points. Number one, people don't really care enough about you or your podcast to know that to sit through a minute and a half and know, okay, something good is really going to come here. Whereas for Stephen Bartlett, it's a known brand. They just know it's going to be good because the brand has such recognition already.
Mm.
So he can afford to do things like that, and it's going to basically keep people engaged because they know what's coming after.
Well, I guess like, that makes sense. But the issue that I have with that, mate, is like, I guess most people right now are thinking, well, the whole point of having an intro and having a teaser is to tease and to convince people to listen, to give them the best bits.
And that brings me to my second point, which is actually about how one should execute teasers. We're not saying that you shouldn't have a teaser as a smaller independent podcaster that hasn't yet built up that brand recognition that Stephen Bartlett has.
Mm.
But what we're saying is, because of his team, the effect that he can produce it to, you know, we listened and had all these very quick musical changes and, of course, or visual changes if you're watching the video as well. All these like very hard cuts and or just all this and that, really making it a very effective, polished teaser. He can extend it and it still will keep people engaged because he's got a whole team dedicated just to producing that. But if you're a smaller business owner or podcaster, and even if you do have maybe an editor or something like that, they're likely, or it's going to be hard to find an editor who's so well-versed that they can really pull that off to that extent. Whereas you're much better off as an independent podcaster going with a smaller teaser that is honestly a fraction, like 10 seconds, 15 seconds, because that way you can just clip up the most intriguing sentence and just cut it off right there, just where it gets climactic, and not have to climb such an uphill battle and try and get an intriguing passage of 1 minute. So basically what I'm saying here is it isn't teasers at core that are just a no-go unless you're Stephen Bartlett, but it's the way he does them, the way they're a minute and a half and really long teasers. It's not smart for podcasters to try and replicate that without his level of brand recognition and without his level of a production team.
I guess what should people do? Because I know a lot of people, again, with their content, they might have like high stakes. It might be like, you know, some really golden nuggets that people really want to have in a teaser. So is there a middle ground? Like, what would you say that people should do?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, to hammer home the point, teasers are not the thing that we're disrecommending. What we are and what you can do instead to still be very effective if you are going to use teasers is really just make it a lot easier for yourself and your team, not climb an uphill battle by trying to be intriguing for a minute and a minute and a half, which is really, really hard in today's day and age. The whole like 3 second rule on social media and like what retention times are like and attention spans. When you think about that, like how does it make any sense at all to do a teaser that is any longer than 30 seconds?
Yeah.
We don't even recommend our clients to do for 30 seconds. I would say 10 seconds max, really one sentence or half a sentence, just the most intriguing climactic point of the episode. And you just cut it off right there before you give the game away. Whereas if you're going on for a minute or in a minute and a half, it's very likely that the guest is then just going to give them a game away. You're going to let them talk, say something intriguing, but then also just keep going to the point where it's not intriguing anymore, right? That's where most people go wrong with teasers.
Got it. So I guess to recap, the main thing you're saying that where people screw up is the intention of having a teaser, fine.
Yeah.
Got it. Amazing. We love it, right? But is when we try to copy people like Stephen Bartlett and have it when it's way too long and drawn out, the length itself isn't an issue, you know? It's not because it's, you know, too long. It can never be too long. It's not about the length itself. It's more so because the fact that when you have a smaller podcast or just when you have a smaller team, you don't have the resources to dedicate to produce a highly effective teaser at the stage that you're at.
And I think something that is very hard to spot, so I wouldn't blame anyone for this. I think the only reason we have spotted it is obviously the amount of podcasts we've now seen from a third perspective.
Within the Get More Listeners Academy.
Get More Listeners Academy. Is how much the quality has to increase if the length is going to increase of the teaser. Podcasters, again, they might have a 30-second teaser, maybe a 1 minute, but even a 30-second teaser, we're getting shorter, still needs to be shorter in my opinion. But normally that 30-second teaser, I just hear one uncut 30-second clip of the interview. What it was, Stephen Bartlett's was like all these little 3 to 5 second chops and changes throughout the interview, which again is showing the difference, right?
Got it.
A 30-second clip of someone talking, this is what I mean. There's going to be about 5 to 10 seconds of something really intriguing in there, but then they're just going to go on and then give the game away and just continue on what they're saying and it's not intriguing anymore, right?
I'll stop you there, mate, because I think you said a golden nugget, which I think is really important that a lot of people might completely miss and overlook, which was, again, you dropped a lot of gems here, mate. So you said one of the biggest things, again, is how effective you can produce it, the actual teaser.
Yeah.
But then you then go on to say, because I think it's important, like we're just saying, don't do teaser, do this, do that, whatever. But what's the practical? How do we make it effective? And you mentioned how with Stephen Bartlett, he has cuts like every 5 seconds when the topic switches to a different moment of the interview.
Yeah, he's just playing on the dopamine, playing on the attention span, and he really gets it right.
Whereas most people, where they go wrong, and this might be you right now, you might be listening to thinking, nah, these guys, what are they talking about? No. I think an easy, clear-cut way is, are you having massive different cuts within this teaser, or is it just one drawn-out clip? Because if it's one drawn-out clip, oftentimes that's not enough dopamine, it's not enough intrigue to really get people's attention going and roaring, right? And if you think about it, one drawn out clip from an hour long interview, like that's not enough incentive to keep someone listening all the way to the end. But 5 mini clips that are 5 seconds long, that interchange, that's dramatic, that kind of switches things up rapidly, is enough to convince someone to stick around all the way to the end.
Huge difference there. And again, this is what's become, I think, grayed through the lines. that actually, yeah, teasers only work to that length if they're a bunch of different if they're things in a short hit, right? Mm. Whereas now, again, what we see a lot of the time is podcasters having teasers that are just like 30 seconds raw uncut, which was never the point of the teaser.
Got it.
So it's like we've moved away from the actual core of what makes teasers work, I would say, generally. And because we see this so often, right?
Mm. So I guess from there, so like the different things you can do and different steps you can take. So the main takeaways from me are, hey, if you are going to do teasers, make sure that they're not like a minute, a minute and a half, because you might not have the team with the resources to make it as effective as possible. If you still want to have a teaser, then it should be like shorter, but have specific clips of the actual interview within the teaser. So you're changing things up, making it really well produced, giving it time of the day, not just like putting it together and thinking, yeah, that will do. And then the other piece is, again, remembering what the intention of the teaser is meant to be. It's meant to tease out the best parts of this episode. And again, when you see someone like Stephen Butler and all these different people think that, you know, they've got an entire team behind them, what makes sense for you in terms of where you're at? And how can we make sure that, again, we get people listening all the way to the end of our episode? And if you're still struggling to decide whether or not you should have a teaser or make it shorter and whatnot, just go to Apple Podcasts Connect or Spotify for Podcasters.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Look at your analytics and then
face the music.
Yeah, face the music. Just see, okay, the first 4 minutes of my podcast, do I have a massive drop off in retention? If you do have a massive drop off in retention, again, that's what Apple Podcasts Connect will help you do. And that's what Spotify Analytics for Podcasts will help you do. It'll show you your retention time, how well you keep your listeners engaged. And if there's a massive drop, you know that it's about time you maybe shorten your teaser or maybe switch things up.
And so before we move on, to be just completely clear here, if anyone was wondering, what we actually recommend for our clients is we don't recommend doing 5 different 5 seconds. That, again, that's still quite an uphill battle and a bit more effort than what it's worth for most people at the current stage they're at. The best middle ground, what we would recommend, is just 1 5-second clip and you just cut it off right there. And then you have a really short teaser. It's a manageable amount of effort for yourself or an editor and you maintain the level of intrigue. Right, God, that was just point one.
Yeah, I know, this is going to be a juicy one. So I guess the next one is basically how massive podcasters, Stephen Butler, he's everywhere, mate. I'll go to LinkedIn, I see his face. I go to Google, I see his face. I go to the airport, Tig, I see his face. I go anywhere, I see Stephen Butler. Mainly on social media, airport, you know, he's broken that, you know, that kind of barrier. Of,
how did you see him at the airport?
Like he has like ads, like for Huel.
Right. I actually bought his book for you at the airport.
No way.
Because I saw it at the airport, yeah.
The point is, Stephen Butler and big podcasters, they're promoting everywhere. They seem to be everywhere on social media. And what this tends to lead to, again, is like monkey see, monkey do. You know? Right. I just clarify, we're not calling our listeners monkeys. We're
all monkeys.
We're all monkeys. But
like, you know.
But the point is, a lot of people see that and they go, okay, cool. He's being everywhere. He's promoting everywhere. So maybe I should. And speaking theoretically, it makes logical sense. Like if I want to increase the exposure of my podcast, if I want to increase the number of discovery points that I create where a new listener or a user or a platform can discover me, why shouldn't I be on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram? Like, why
TikTok,
shouldn't I do that?
Twitter.
So why the hell are we saying that people shouldn't copy the strategy and how the strategy itself will actually screw more people over, more podcasters, more of our listeners over than it will help them?
I wasn't prepared for the question. Okay. Is that going to be all right, that noise?
Yes. All right.
Well, again, it comes down to two things. And the first one is just kind of rolled over from the last point that we made. Unless you have a full team dedicated to that, the level of execution to do that effectively just isn't going to be there. And you're just going to be a jack of all trades, master of none, right? Mm. Which brings me on to the second point, which is just focus.
Mm.
Really, they are the same point. Because the second point is, if you're doing this alone, or again with maybe like one team member dedicated to clipping up clips or something like that,
yeah,
there's just not the level of bandwidth or focus to master each platform and actually grow these clips and get them the exposure on each platform. You could argue, of course, that the more shots you take, like you're kind of buying more tickets for the raffle, if you like, just by posting more and more clips, but it doesn't. We've never seen that strategy bring long term success. Mm. Just taking that approach of like literally the more clips in the more places one will hit.
Mm.
And because the thing is, even if that happens, it doesn't even guarantee people actually go and listen to the podcast, right? So what do we recommend instead, Anthony?
So what we recommend is having focus, right? Instead of splitting your attention up into five different places, just be focused on one, you know. And I think a simple way to kind of identify which one it should be for you, which platform you should pick and go all in on, is just ask yourself, okay, if I am posting everywhere currently, which platform is currently getting me the best results?
Yeah.
Like, which platform am I currently getting the highest level of engagement? Which platform do I also kind of enjoy, you know, do I enjoy making content on? And most of the time, the platform you enjoy making content on is a platform you're being rewarded by, the platform you have the most amount of engagement, right?
Right.
So focusing your attention solely on how do I figure out, number one, the best way to get the attention of my audience on this platform? Number two, how do I then turn that attention from this platform into an actual listener? And for that, we've got tons of episodes all about, you know, how to use social media without promoting and turning strangers to listeners online. So you can check that out, right? But really, that's the goal. And when you have multiple platforms you're trying to grow on, it's very difficult. Again, Stephen Bartlett has entire teams dedicated to each channel, right? And they're going crazy with that. They're probably spending tens of thousands each month on these different channels, marketing and specializing in that. When you've got a small team that's intimate, you have to think about yourself as well as your team and their resources.
Yeah.
Whether that's you have an editor or producer, they're putting energy into you and your show. They want it to grow. So if you want the show to grow yourself, you have to start, you're your CEO. Where should you put your resources to get the best outcome that you want, which is growing the podcast, which is growing your audience? So having that focus and being disciplined with just one platform to begin with, once you've cracked the code of that algorithm, which is hard enough as it is, once you've done that, and once you feel like you have more capacity and have a bigger team and have the budget to invest to make other channels work, then start exploring. But right now, for most people listening to this, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd really encourage you to explore, just have them focus and try it out for 90 days. You know, see if you get better results, see if you grow much faster and go from there.
Damn straight. Nothing to add.
So the third and last point. So far we've spoke about super long teasers, why they don't work. Can't copy Stephen Bartlett. And we've also gave you some practical steps that you can take if you want to have a teaser and our approach, what we encourage our clients and to get more listeners academy, our personalized one-on-one program, helping education-based podcasters go from slow, steady growth to rapidly growing podcasts in 6 months. Anyways, what we recommend, and we've spoke about that piece, what we recommend to our clients in the academy, and we've also broke down again why you shouldn't be promoting everywhere. You know, why that actually kind of shoots, you know, you kind of end up shooting yourself in the foot, you know, because you can't get the most out of these channels. Now, with the final point, is all about why you should just maybe like not copy other bigger shows who are just landing all these big, you know, big deals.
Take that from the top. So say the next point again.
Got it. So now we're going to talk about why you shouldn't really focus too much. Why copying other big names who land massive deals, land big sponsorships? Well, you shouldn't chase that yourself. You know, and how chasing brand deals and sponsorships actually ends to you.
Do you want our listeners to be broke, Anthony?
Well, I mean, you know, them chasing sponsorship, them chasing brand deals, I would argue that it actually slows their growth down, number one, and number two, makes them even more broke. And our listeners aren't really broke. They're successful entrepreneurs and business owners, etc. But their podcasts can be broke.
Whoa. This guy has taken no prisoners today. So have the drink first. I'd actually need one as well.
This is going to be a fucking long episode.
Yeah, but it's nice to throw one in there and then, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'll only be like 20 minutes when it's all done, won't it?
Yeah.
So firstly, why does this work for Stephen Bartlett? And that kind of shed the answer on why it might not work for the independent podcaster.
Mm.
So Stephen Bartlett has a ton of brand deals. I hear a lot of stuff about him, like kind of questionable stuff, saying, you know, he brings on certain people because he gets a brand deal and this and that. But it's not really relevant here. The point is he just gets so many deals and sponsorships, right? It seems as if he gets one from most guests. And of course, there's loads of other things like this Huel and all this and that. Point is, he has deals coming out of his ears because he is so big. How many downloads is he getting? How many subscribers is he getting? Millions and millions, right? I don't know the numbers.
Nuts, to be fair.
But he's again, he probably is the English Joe Rogan. I think that is a fair comparison in terms of podcast size and influence.
And by the way, for context, I prefer Chris Williams. Carry on.
Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah, I forgot about Chris Williams. No,
yeah, carry on, yeah.
Anyway, besides the point. But where was it? So because of the sheer volume of deals coming in that he has and the sheer bargaining power that he has with an immense audience size and influence, it actually makes sense for him to focus on that as his strategy. Mm. However, let's now take this to you as the listener who perhaps doesn't have a million plus listeners. Maybe it would be a fair assumption. We don't either, for the record. So this is why you never heard a sponsor for us. And so in that position, Anthony, does it make sense for us to go after sponsors? Why is that? Or is that not the best way of us making revenue at our size, given that for Stephen, it might be at his size?
Yes, I think for Stephen at his size, having the brand sponsorship, they'll give him a massive chunk of money because he's going to get them just so much eyeballs. A ton of eyeballs.
It's a really, really gruesome way of putting it, but yeah.
You know what I mean, right? Whereas if you're a smaller show, independent podcaster, let's say you're between like, you know, let's say you've got a podcast getting 10,000 monthly downloads, right? To most people, that's like, oh, that's amazing. That's ecstatic, right? But if you were to get like a sponsorship or a brand deal, the money you'd make from that is honestly pretty laughable. Like it's not great, you know? So like, I guess again, it's kind of context, right? So what's not great? Let's say like $1,000, right? $2,000. Even let's say $3,000. I think people are happy with $3,000. So we'll cut that bit out.
And of course, there's exceptions. Like there are certainly exceptions to what we're saying here, but we're speaking, and I know podcasters that have had really good sponsorship deals, but we're talking about the average here. We're talking about the kind of mean trend that we see.
Yeah. So let's say $2,000. We'll just say $2,000, right? So a lot of people, I can imagine a lot of people right now are saying, $2,000 extra each month to my podcast, not bad, wouldn't mind that. But the thing you got to think about is you have to get there first, the 10,000 monthly downloads, which of course this podcast is here to help you do.
Mm-hmm.
But then other pieces, if you've got a business yourself, right, and you have a program, a coaching program, or your own product, to us, and while we don't really think about sponsorship too much, even if a client comes in to get 10,000 plus monthly downloads, the first thing we ask is, what product do you have to sell to your audience, right? And if you've got, let's say, a high ticket product that's $2,000 for like a coaching program or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Well, you're just self-sustaining. You're feeding your own business. You're turning your listeners into actual paying clients, or you're selling your products to your audience. So to us...
But Anthony, who cares about that if one is going to make more money than the other? It doesn't really matter. Fundamentally about turning listeners into paying clients or not. It's just what's going to be the best ROI, right?
Yes. I thought you were going to lead somewhere to that.
No, sorry. I was just prompting you because you were kind of saying like, but I'm just thinking they just care about which is going to make the most money, right? So maybe just talk about how that can actually make them more money doing it that way.
Yeah. And I guess in terms of that, with the like sponsorships, it's basically most of the time it's going to be like a fixed rate based on where you're at.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas specifically with your own product, is just how well can you produce a podcast that can turn strangers or your listeners into buyers? And because I have so much more rapport with your listeners, it's very unlikely they're going to get annoyed of you promoting your own stuff when it's genuine, when it's connected to you. Whereas if it's with like a brand, well, number one, you have like a fixed amount that you're making kind of each month. And then number two is heavily dictated.
I can see where you're going with this, so I'm going to go out on a limb, finish your sentence, and say that essentially what you're saying is when starting without a huge audience like mm-hmm. Stephen Bartlett, you're a lot more leveraged to be able to sell your own thing and not have a cap on that, and there's a lot more in your control
mm-hmm.
rather than, one, having to grow a ton more to get to the point where you're then capped on sponsorships and usually earning less.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Now that you say it like that?
100%. And again, for context, we've had clients who've got small audiences, literally like have a listener, become a client, they make an extra $6,000 in a month.
Right, yeah.
Some $12,000.
We even had a client that closed a $126,000 deal, you know, from his podcast.
One of our clients yesterday closed a deal, an extra, you know, $5,000, you know, a few extra thousand.
Yeah.
Not bad, right? And again, that's because of how we've positioned things. So for yourself in your journey, just think, what can I sell for myself? Do I have a coaching program? Do I have a product? Is it something that I can create and provide value to my audience? And then just go all in on yourself and back yourself, you know, because you become the sponsor of your show. You don't have to wait to have a massive audience to do that. So I guess to...
Ask me.
Ask you what?
Just like time in for the outro.
Got it. So Tig, I guess, mate, to round things off. Yeah, so I guess, mate, Tig, to round things off, we've covered a lot of different points here. So again, why shouldn't our listeners copy podcasts like Stephen Bartlett when it comes to their podcast growth strategy? And why won't it work for them? And what should they do instead?
Thank you. What an amazing question to round off on. So there's three reasons. So firstly, while Stephen Bartlett gets away with executing well on teasers that are often as long as a minute and a half, that works for him because he is really playing on the dopamine with extremely well-produced, multi different clips of about 3 seconds each. And again, there's insane production behind it. Plus, people are already warmer to keep listening and give his show more of a chance because of his audience size. While that's the case for him and shows that are large, for yourself listening right now, if that's not where you are yet, then it doesn't make sense to have a long teaser because people are not already as bought into the show. You likely don't currently have the production to really make that effective. And instead, what you can do is don't clip up one long part of the interview or whatever as one big 30-second teaser. Because that actually was never really the point of why teasers worked. Instead, focus on really short dopamine hits. And even if it's just one, that's just one 5 to 10 second clip from the interview, just cut it right there and get into it. You'll be way more effective that way. Number two, while Stephen Bartlett and other similar shows can get away with being everywhere and posting everywhere and actually really working it, it's really increasing his brand awareness and giving him an ROI on that. It's likely that in the position you are now, you might not have the focus or bandwidth between yourself and your team to actually make that effective. And instead, it would make sense to master one channel first before then investing time and money into growing other channels. So while Stephen Bartlett does have the resources to become a jack of all trades and actually master of all trades, we can't play the same game as him at the stage we're at. So we have to become a master of one first, then move on. And finally, while Stephen Bartlett can make a huge ROI on his podcast and actually make sense that rather selling his own product, he can just get an amazing revenue return from brand deals, sponsorships, that kind of thing, from his guests, from other companies. They're just coming from all places because of his sheer size. For yourself as an independent podcaster without an audience of millions yet, you're likely going to have much better leverage selling your own stuff, and it's going to be a lot quicker to get to the point where you can monetize your podcast substantially.
And that is why you shouldn't copy Stephen Bartlett when you're trying to grow your podcast. And look, if you haven't already, be sure to go down to the show notes and grab your free copy of our best-selling book, Podcast Marketing, or typing www.getmorelisteners.com/book. And of course, what you'll also get is a totally personalized mini show audit. So again, that's completely personalized to you and your podcast. Yes. Like I've said 1,000 times, this is absolutely 100% a bribe and a way to get you into our world and what we're doing.